All praises do and be to our King, who is Jesus the Christ. I thank you all for leading us in worship this morning, and I pray that that is all of our fate. In our grave we are singing and humming sweet melodies upon the Lord when we shall meet his face. And so just very quickly, I'd like to thank Dr. Moeller and the administration here for allowing me to be here this morning and to stand here and to serve us in this capacity. And I'm so thankful for all of you all. And I'm even thankful for all the profs that I read long before I was a faculty member here, and how they strengthened my ministry, and how just Kevin Smith had me reading through multiple, him and Curtis Woods, of their work, saying, hey, these guys will sharpen you. I didn't know 10 years ago that I would actually be able to sit in the same room and be with those guys and still glean from them even more. So I thank all of you all as well for all that you have taught me along this way. I want to thank my pastor, Nate Bishop, who may be here. I think he's here somewhere. And Jimmy Butts as well, for those guys, the way they love me and serve alongside. I get to serve alongside them at Forest here in Louisville. But that's not why I'm here. Although I did want to give some hellos and greetings to folks. That's just what we do. And I say we sometimes in the African-American pulpit, we take a few moments to give shout-outs to folks, okay? So if you ever come to Forest, you're like, what are they doing? That's what we do, all right? And so thank you all for bearing with me for those few minutes. But I'm here to talk about Jesus today because he is King and he is Lord and he has the power. Christ is the wisdom and the power. I have a daughter named Kennedy. And Kennedy is a collector of stuff. Many of you all have met Kennedy. Some of you all who have babysat for us may have even been in Kennedy's room. You know she is a collector of stuff. Under her bed are shoe boxes of random things and vitamin C bottles, this, and orange juice bottles, that. So whatever she can get her hands on, she takes. And she holds tightly to. And there's this one little trinket that she has. She's a trinketer, right? And we have a little nightlight. We have a little lamp in the room. And so she would take this little thing out of her backpack, and she would stick it, boom, right underneath the lamp. And I'm like, Kitty, you're not the 3 or 4 days. I'm like, what is that? What is that thing? I'm like, she has a lot of things. What is the thing? She said, well, that is a glow stick, Daddy. I'm like, a glow stick? First of all, why do you need a glow stick? She said, no. Why does it have to be under the light? She said, well, listen, the glow stick goes under the light every night because that's the way it's charged. And if I don't put the glow stick under the light at night, if it doesn't receive, if it doesn't absorb light, then it's useless through the day. I said, whoa. I said, so you tell me the only way this little thing's working is when you put it under the light and then you get on your teacher's nerves with it in school? She's like, yeah, this is how it works. Brothers and sisters, that's our life. Unless we are sitting under the light, under the word of Jesus Christ, morning, noon, night, we're worthless. We're worthless. Because we just walk around absorbing what we hear from scribes and debaters and the wisdom and the wise people of this age. So journey with me now as I go through 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 18 on down through the end of that text. And if I could title this text, I would title the text, Christ Has the Wisdom to Destroy and the Power to Save. And we'll look at three key points this morning. The cross, the contenders, and the calling. And I'll lay out five application points. And because I'm a teacher, I think it's well to say them up front. And I'm going to give them to you. And you can track with me as we go through this thing. Application point number one, listen to the Lord when he speaks. He is speaking. Application point number two, choose to stand either with the wise, the debaters, and the scribes of this age, or stand with Jesus. There's no middle ground. Application point number three, preach Christ. Nothing else. Number four, daily consider your calling. Daily consider your calling. Where were you when he called you? And application point number five, always find your boast in the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you. Father, I am fallible.
prone to stumble, prone to say unhelpful things. Right now, Lord, I need you. I need you to be with me right now as I make sense of this text. And I pray, Father, that you're as much with me now as you were through my moments of study and preparation. You dwell in me. Father, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. I want to make you known. This moment is about you. Let us have a sweet encounter with you this morning. In Jesus' matchless name, we pray and believe. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. And I'll read it for your hearing. But I won't make you stand like they used to do in the Old Testament. You know, get up and listen to it for hours. If you come to my church, you're going to stand up, though, all right? You come into my church, hey, you're going to stand up, all right? Just know that. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart. Where? Listen to the questions here. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Verse 22, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For, consider your calling, saints, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world. Even things that are not to bring to nothing things that are. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Because of him. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Don't miss these three words here. Righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. The cross, let's think about the cross. For the cross has the power to destroy and the power to save. Verse 18 says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. There are two categories of people right now living in this room and living on this earth. Either you are perishing or you are being saved. There is no middle ground. And so as you engage people in this world, you have to think, are they perishing? Are their actions showing me they are perishing? Are the actions showing me that they are being saved? That's a good reflective question for all of us. Am I living a life today of proof that I am being saved, or am I perishing? Because the end is coming for all of us, right? Like, you can't escape death. It is coming. It is coming. It could be today. It could be today. So when you take your last breath on this side of glory, will you end up in eternity with God the Father, basking in his glory, or will you be in hell? And those are the two categories in which we see people. Yeah, we see gender, we see ethnic groups, we see professions. We as Christians, we put on our worldview eyes, either this person is perishing that I'm talking to, or they are being saved. There's no middle ground, saints. But I check out the words, though. But what we say to them, what we say to those who are perishing, is folly. It is foolishness, the words that come out of our mouths to them. So they think. And so don't be disheartened. Don't be disheartened if you share the gospel with someone and they look at you like a fool. The Bible says that's what they're going to do. Because they think that the words that are coming out of your mouth are foolish, yet we know that they are perishing. But the very words that individuals see as foolish, we know they have the power to save us. And so we're not distracted by their body language or their posture, because we turn to the Word. We sit, we bathe underneath the light, underneath the Word that saves us, that equips us, and that strengthens us. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what do those who are perishing, what do they look like? What do they look like? So you may think they're like broken down, feeble, filthy looking, dirty, you know, but we're looking at the outward appearance. Let's not look at the outward appearance. We need to ask God, show us their hearts. Amen. We see someone in a suit. Oh, yeah, Dr. Jones, he's saved. You know, he out in the suit and his tie is looking good. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's saved. Is he Dr. Hall? We all, they're dressed up. No, don't look at the outward appearance. The outward appearance can fool you. You've been living long enough to know you can make yourself up to be whatever you want to be. Don't let the outward appearance fool you. Say, Lord, show me their hearts. The cross has the power to save. You don't have the power to save. My words don't have the power to save. The cross, it is the power to save. We see the inner working of the Trinity here. We see the working of the Godhead. God the Father says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will throw it. He is tearing it down even now. He's tearing it down. Maybe it doesn't seem like he's tearing it down, but he is tearing it down. Christ has the wisdom to destroy and the power to save. Let's look at verse 19. For it is written, God says, Isaiah 29:14, I'll destroy it. I'll destroy it. It has always been God's plan to destroy the wisdom of the wise. It's not new. Don't think just because you're in seminary now, oh, yeah, yeah, you know what? Oh, God has this marvel plan for me in my life. No, it has always been his plan. We see later on in the text to take weak, broken, feeble people and to make them trumpets for him. Just survey the Old Testament. Show me a prophet that was the most liked or most appreciated or most articulate man, and I'll show you none. I'll show you none. Application point number one, listen to God. The cross speaks, speaking to you. And what it says to us is, come to me all who are heavy laden. Bring me your burdens. I'll nail the sins here. I'm holding them. I have absorbed them. And you get to enter into his rest. And to those who are perishing, that's foolish. They say, why in the world, why in the world would I look at an old rugged cross and believe that they can do anything for me? We know it saves us. Now let's just take a quick moment. Now let's observe now the contenders. The cross is clear. Let's look at the contenders now in verse 20 on down for a few moments. There are people who say the cross is foolish. There are four questions asked here. Three questions to point to the problem. One rhetorical question to show the answer. Listen to them. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Three questions. Boom, boom, boom. Where are they? Here's the answer. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God our Father is silencing them. He is silencing them. He's made foolish their wisdom. And here's why we have to be careful. Because the contenders are attractive. You know, the contenders, they dance around, you know, in the ring. You know, if we're looking at Mike Tyson, he's about to have a fight. Let's think about this. They're dancing around. Tyson is up. He's big. He's broad. He's strong. Imagine this for a second. He's getting it in. He's getting it in. Now, check this. Here's the foolishness of the cross. Here's the foolishness of the cross. Imagine that KJ wants to fight Mike Tyson, right? Tyson is like, I'm knocking out in the heartbeat. Some of y'all don't know Tyson, but that's exactly how he said. Hey, some older folks, some of y'all are like, Floyd Mayweather. No, not Floyd. I'm talking about Mike Tyson. Iron Mike. I'm knocking man in a heartbeat. Right, so you see KJ and Mike in this ring, and on one side, Tyson is there, and then we see KJ. We say, KJ will be foolish to get into the ring with him. But then what if we say, well, here comes KJ and 20 of his friends. 25 of his friends. 1 million of his friends. See, you all, what people see when they see the cross is KJ. And they think they're Iron Mike. But we know. I was talking with Kevin about this. I said, man, can I use an analogy? He was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want you to talk about me. And then Carson, who's my four-year-old daughter, said, you can use me. You can talk about me. So Carson, I'm talking about you right now, baby. She is the very daughter that said, I'm taking a moment of privilege here. Hey, Daddy, I need to go to school today, so I won't come to your preaching. And she's not here. So I told her she can just watch it, record it later on, okay? So for all you dads who think your daughter's going to be, you know, hearing all of your preaching, yeah, there she goes. What the Lord did show me. What the Lord did show me today is she won't be a people pleaser. I don't have to worry about that, okay, at all. I know she's not a people pleaser at all. Right, all right. So here's the deal. Let's make our way through these verses. He says, we made them fools. For since, this is verse 21, for since is in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through its wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. See, now here's the deal. Saints, we have to make a decision. Either we're going to stand with Christ and we're going to be suited and situated and fitted in him, or we're going to stand with the others in the world. The wise, those who think they're wise, the debaters, those who think they know something, and the scribes. Now, what do they look like for us in 2018? That's the question we have to ask. Like, whose feet are we sitting under in order to receive information? Ask yourself that question. Who do you give your ear to? Who do you give your ear to? Who are you reading? Who are you supporting? Who are you advocating for? Are you advocating for the preached word from your pastor as much as you do other individuals that you listen to? I'm sure your pastor is contending for Christ. Are you like siding with the debaters and the wise of this age and the scribes? Ask the Lord to show you right now. He'll do that because he loves you. He will, and don't ignore it when he shows it to you. That's what we like to do with our idols. He shows us the idols. He's like, no, no, God, I like that idol. I want to keep that one. No, no, he'll show you. And burn it up. Choose a side to stand on, saints. Christ has the wisdom to destroy and the power to save. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. This is just like way encouraging for me. And should be for all of us. But we preach Christ crucified. That's what we do. That's who we are. So whether you are an education major or a business major or a counselor or training to be a pastor, we preach Christ crucified. I tell my students, read the Bible through the lens like you're going into the classroom as a second grader, as a fourth grader, as a 10th grade teacher. And what do you do with your morning devotion? How do you respond to the secretary? How do you respond to the bus driver? How do you respond to the snotty-nosed little kid getting on your nerves? And I say the same thing for you. The Lord has called us. He has put us in places. Read the Bible through that lens. Don't think, oh, this is just for pastors. No, wherever you go, we preach Christ. Starbucks, McDonald's, Burger King, Long John Silver's. I'm talking about like college budgets right now, right? You're like, what do you know about those places? Like, yeah. You know? I'll refrain from naming the faculty favorite restaurants. I'll keep them secrets, brother, so they don't show up, okay? But wherever we go, you all, we preach Christ. Application point number one, listen to the word of the Lord when he speaks. Number two, choose a side to stand on. Number three, preach Christ wherever you go, and whatever you do. Look at the third section of this portion of this chunk that I want to deal with this morning. First, we look at the cross. The cross is folly. We know that. What some people think. Second is we look at the contenders. We've laid them out. Who is contending for your affections today? Who is it? Who is it? And then third, the calling. Look at verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Like, this is huge for us. This is so important for us. Because we look at the contenders, and sometimes we may want to laugh at the contenders and say, oh, look at them. Look at their state. Hey, do you know your parents didn't go into hell? If you would just do what I did, you'd be fine. But that's not the case for us. It's not the case for us. Hear what the Lord says. Consider your calling. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose three times said in this letter, God chose you when you were foolish, weak and stumbling. He chose you. Now, what kind of, would you choose you today? Would you choose you today? Yes or no? Just answer that under your breath. He chose us. He didn't choose you because you were smart. He didn't choose you because of what family you came in. He didn't choose you because your dad was a pastor or not a pastor. He didn't choose you because who your mom was. He chose you because he wanted you. And he is God and he does whatever he pleases. But he chose you. But he chose you. So I think it's good. I think it's very helpful for us to remember where we were when God called us. Like, that's application point number four. Sit and don't stew in it, because Romans 8:1 says there is therefore now no condemnation in those who believe. And Satan will get busy like breaking up your past. He does it to me every day. You remember you used to do this, right? I'm like, I used to. Yeah, talk to him. It's kind of like the schizophrenic one. I used to do that, but I don't anymore. I used to think that. I don't think that anymore. God chose me. It's self-talk, healthy self-talk for me. God, you want me? But here's the deal, though. Sometimes I can be so insecure in myself, so bothered by my own sins, that it's absurd to me that God would even choose me. But he didn't choose me because of who I am or because of who I will be. He chose me because, why? Because he loves me. He loves me. There is nothing that can separate you. Romans 8, the end says, nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing you thought last night. Nothing you will do tomorrow. No, I'm not. This is not freedom to sin. No, no. Romans 6, no. Say, no. We shall not continue in sin so the grace be abound. No, you kill sin, but you rest in his grace. God chose you. Sometimes we forget God chose us because we don't consider our calling enough. We think sometimes we look at our calling like, yeah, like calling happened. Like, you know what? Yeah. My calling happened after I read 20 books. No. The calling calls you to read those 20 books. No. Where were you when he called you? Who were you when he called you? You're a saint today. You're a saint today. You're a saint. Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 29. We see that God chose in 26 to 29, 28. Now here's my fifth application point that I'm going to sit down. Application point number five is boast in the Lord. I say, like, why would we have to bring it to the surface? Why? Because we're sinful people and we like to take credit for stuff we don't do. Yeah. How many of y'all ever been in group work before? Yeah. Like, don't look at your neighbor if I'm about to talk about them. Look straight at me. But you get this group project, right? And the assignment submitted, and y'all supposed to meet like, eight times over the course of the semester, and everybody had their part, and just so happened, I'll refrain from saying a name here, so-and-so did not do their part. And they take the credit. They're like the first one to email the prof, hey, what did you think about our assignment? It was awesome, wasn't it? ? So we have to be reminded here that our boast is in the Lord and not anything that we've done. We like taking credit for stuff we don't do. Hear the word of the Lord, verse 29. So that no human being, none, might boast in the presence of God. You can pretend to boast down here. You can lie to us and tell us, oh yeah, you come to campus, I've been saved my whole life, never made a mistake. You will not be able to boast in the presence of God. Don't believe everything your roommate tells you that they did and that they are. You can boast here, but you cannot boast in the presence of God. And because of him, God chose, and because of him. Now, anything that you've done, and because of him, the word says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Go back to point and go back to my introduction now. We look, like, where do we sit? Where do we get our wisdom? From sitting under the lamp of God's word. We go there repeatedly. God, teach me. Let me absorb your word. Let me absorb everything there is for me to know. And now hear this out. From God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He makes us right. The foolish people believe they're going to work themselves right with God. The foolish people believe that they're okay with him. The foolish people believe that they are right and that God is wrong. What I like to tell them, what we need to tell them as we preach Christ, application point number 3, Christ is right and you are wrong. Sanctification, this process of already but not yet. Here's the sweetness of this, right? The sweetness of sanctification is if I die today, I am already. I'm already. If I drop dead walking off here, take care of my wife, get the life insurance papers. Bishop, you know where they are. Do all that, man. I appreciate you. If I walk off the stage, I am already done. However, if I live 25 more years, 30 more years, it's a constant process of sanctification. I will become more like him as he works on me, as he massages my heart, and as I'm filled with his word, and as I put my sin to death, Luke 9:23, and redemption. And then he redeems us. He buys us. He purchases us. He redeems us. We do nothing. Which is shocking. Because the fool wants to boast in all that they've done. But those who sinned into Christ's wisdom, we know we've done nothing. Application point number 5, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What does that look like? What does that look like for us, saints? What is it like to really boast in the Lord? It's not just false humility. Yeah, you know, God took care of me. He done it. That's not it. It's not it. It is bowing your face to the floor in humility, knowing that you are who you are because God made you who you are. And not taking credit for anything that he has done in your life or the things that you know that he will do. Why do we boast in Christ? Why Christ and not ourselves? Because he took nails we would not take and could not take. He took punches in the face from grown men that we could not take and would not take. He took spit in his face that we could not take and that we would not take. He took punches and lashes that we could not take. And he did not mumble a word. That's why we boast in him. But not only did he die, he died. But I love the Gospel of John because John says he took his hair cloth and he folded it up and laid it neatly at the place where his head had laid. And the angel began to ask the question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen, Romans 8, now interceding for us on our behalf, serving as a complete propitiation for our sins, both yours and mine. Saints, Christ has the wisdom and the power. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, then I'll pray for us. We're going to get out of here. Some of y'all have class. You ain't going to blame it on me. Dr. Jones went over today. No. You're not using that. Even though there's more I'd like to say. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer. Here's where we were, you all. Blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him
for eternal life. That's the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for this moment. Lord God, we know that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save us, to call us home, to be with you. So, Father, I pray that as we move forward in our lives, that we would do self-check, God, to remind us, to reflect deeply on who we are, who we were when you called us, and then to share the gospel. Give us the heart and the mind to share the gospel with people and to see them as either perishing or those that are being saved. God, we thank you for the work, the process of sanctification. And we wait eagerly for your return. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen.